Everyone in this church is special, and every guest this morning is special, but there's one particular guest who is extra special, and that's my friend Steve Chalk. Steve, I knew you when you were about this size. Yes, because your mother and father went to the same church that my mother and father, at least my mother normally, went. So we've been good friends over the years, and Steve has been a good friend to this church too. For those who don't know him, Steve is the founder director of the Oasis Trust and is also, for some of the time, senior minister of the Oasis Church in Waterloo. And it really is good that you've come to us. We appreciate that because I know that most Sundays you want to be at home. So come up here. I've got three questions for you. This is not the sermon, folks. It's just a build-up. What excites you about life?
What excites me about life? Knowing you through the years, Paul. Oh. Exciting. It's just great. I just tell you, it's wonderful for me. I've been sat on the front seat there with my friend Paul. And watching you, Paul, it's just a joy to me. It really is. It excites me. It really does. What excites me about life is that I became a Christian when I was 14 at Homesdale Road Baptist Church in South Norwood, the church that Paul's talking about. And from that day on, truly, honestly, I love life. I felt that on the day I became a Christian, I received this sense of call to live my life for Jesus, to be a church leader, to set up a school for those who didn't have any decent education, to set up a hostel and housing for people who had nowhere to go, and to create healthcare. And so I went home that night from Homesdale Road Baptist Youth Club that was run by Spurgeon's College students. And I told my mum, my dad was out, told my mum that I was a Christian, I was going to do these things, I was going to set up a hostel, a school and a hospital and be a Baptist minister. And and be a Baptist minister. And I thought they were four things, different things. And the only thing that's changed over the years is I've realised they're all the same thing. That actually the church, I'm supposed to, Paul was the principal of Spurgeon's at one time, we're not supposed to train leaders for churches, we should be training community leaders. That's what the church should be doing. We're called to lead communities. And so it's fantastic to hear the conversation this morning about what you're doing here. That's what I'm excited about, the church leading communities and creating well-being and wholeness for people, which is Jesus-centred. I'm excited.
Get depressed? If so, what depresses you?
What depresses me is the pain of doing it. Do you know, it's hard work, isn't it? So I was saying to some people I was talking to this week, actually, do you know, you constantly feel like giving up. Do you know, I'm sure you've got your reasons for giving up. Let me tell you some of mine. My reasons for giving up is that I'm not very clever. My reasons for giving up is that I'm too old. My reasons for giving up is that I'm pretty, I'm a generalist, not particular, so I don't know much about education or much about housing or much about anything. My reasons for giving up is that I'm surrounded by endless young people. Oasis, the trust I started, we now employ in this country 6,000 people. So I am a tiny little old man sitting in the corner. And just yesterday, actually, I was talking to a good friend of mine in Oasis. She's our group chief executive. And I said to her, Joy is her name, I said, Joy, maybe like I should just stick to doing this little local thing and retire from national work because I'm just not fast enough. So, you know, what I'm saying is that we all feel our vulnerability, don't we? But we're all called to this great task. It's exciting and daunting, and sometimes you feel like giving up. But actually, this is the gospel. So I've enjoyed singing these songs again this morning. They remind me of who I am.
And thirdly, what gives you hope?
What gives me hope? What gives me hope is this. I think that we live... When I was a kid and grew up and then went to Spurgeon's College, I think we honestly did live in a society that had marginalised spirituality. That's just not true anymore. I think that everyone, all political parties, etc. I worked for the United Nations for part of my time. I'm a special advisor to the UN, so I work with government now at a global level as well as nationally. Because of my job, I know, you know, most of the cabinet, for instance, you know, and I know this, that everyone gets it. They don't understand how to get there, but they all get it, that the goal is well-being, human flourishing, and that's not just about what you can count or add up, and that's not just about what you can measure. It's about a quality of life and a spirituality. So we live in a country that knows it needs something deeper, character-forming, than it's got. They know that bit. They really don't know where to look for it a lot of the time. The other thing that gives me hope is this. This is the truth. Let me say it so you've heard it said. In the next 20 years, the two decades coming, whether we have a coalition government, a Lib Dem government, a Labour government, or a Conservative government, the same thing's going to happen. It will happen in slightly different ways, but this is what will happen. Remember this. Central government and local government is going to enter into partnerships and give away community assets to be run by responsible community groups. From healthcare to the care for the elderly, from schooling and education and prisons and detention centres and libraries and parks, the list, we are just at the beginning. So there's a chance for the church, if it understands that our message, our task from Jesus Christ is to serve all and build healthy communities, there's an opportunity for us to find new ways forward, more glorious than we've ever thought of, as we serve our communities. I'm excited about that.